Good morning to everybody. I see we've got quite a few visitors. I'm very blessed to see you, and I'm excited to have some new faces. We honor God for that. These people that are standing in front here are involved with me in this ministry, and they minister with me to people. And I do want to ask, nobody except these people ministers to people. We sometimes have people come here, and then they try and minister behind the scenes. I will not tolerate that, and I will not stand for that. And if I catch you, I'm going to ask you to leave. You know, you do not come to somebody else's church and come and do your own thing behind the scenes. I'm responsible for everybody's spiritual well-being in this place. If I don't know you, I can't allow you to prophesy over people, to pray for people, to lay hands on people, to minister to people. It's unbiblical. The Word of God warns us not to allow things like that. These are the people that I've walked a long road with. I know them very well. I know them intimately. And I know the fruit of God in their life. Are they perfect? No, they're not. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Are you perfect? No, you're not. But I can see the fruit of God in their life, and I can see the Spirit of God working through them. And therefore, I trust them to minister to people. If one of these people is not the person ministering to you, please understand that you should not allow it, because sometimes we don't see what happens. So I want everybody to know that these are the people that minister. Amen. Yes.
If there's anybody out there who needs to talk to one of us, you can come to me, have my phone number, and we'll contact you back.
Amen. All right, thank you guys. Please be seated. Where is Manuela? You have something that you want to share, am I correct? Or I heard a little birdie tweet, eh? Yes. Wilson, where's Mr. Wilson? I need the other microphone quickly. Okay, so sorry, she can use mine. So I understand that God did something wonderful for your mom. I think maybe it'll bless everybody if you can just share with them what happened, what your mom's symptoms were, et cetera, and what God did for her after that.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, I'm on the spot. I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. My mom is overseas, and when she comes on holiday, she always comes to our meetings. So this time, I'm sure lots of you that were here saw that she came to the services when she was here. We prayed for healing for her. She has back problems. She was operated many years ago, and she has back pain constantly, her arms. And Rian prayed for her here, and then we went another private meeting with Rian as well. We prayed. Lots of things happened, and she went back, and then she told me that she got back. She was not tired, no pain. She did all the housework. She's 83 years old.
Oh, wow.
She cooks everything. Praise the Lord. And that was not, I've given this testimony before, but 3 years ago, she was very, very sick. She didn't walk. She didn't eat by herself. She was totally for about 3 months. God says, knock and keep knocking. That's what we did. And she was healed.
Amen.
And she's good. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, she said something there that I think is very important. God's word says, knock and keep on knocking. I want to say something about that. You know, this is a ministry where we see healing take place. This is a ministry where we see people being delivered. We are blessed. We are fortunate. God really spoils us, if you want my personal opinion. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I've heard many people say, oh, but you know what, once you prayed for it once, you must now accept it and you must just leave it in God's hands, because if you don't, then you have no faith. I disagree with that completely. We've seen many times where we've prayed for a person once, twice, three, four times, and maybe the fifth or the sixth time, suddenly the power of God is released and something happens for that person. The Bible says, pray and keep on praying. It says, knock and keep on knocking. It is not a sign of a lack of faith to keep coming back to God. It is a sign of faith that you believe God is going to give you that breakthrough. So please, you know what? If you've received prayer once or twice and you don't believe that you've seen what you expected, we should have an expectation. If you want to be healed, you want to be healed. Finished and klaar. All right? You know whether you healed or not. Is it wrong to come back next week and ask for prayer again? No, I believe that that's what you should be doing. You should have the faith in God to keep coming and knowing that God is amazing, that He is a God of His Word, and that it is God's heart to prosper us and it's God's heart to bless us. And like she says with her mother, it might have taken a couple of times, but God healed her.
Amen.
Amen. On Wednesday night, we had a special service here. Who was at the meeting? Were you blessed?
Yes.
Are you still buzzing?
Yes.
Are you all drunk as a skunk from the anointing? You know, the Word of God says that when the anointing comes upon us, sometimes the effect is it says, do not become drunk in wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when the power of God is very, very strong, the sensation that you have is that your head begins to swim. It's like it's too much for you. You begin to get this floating sensation. The people are not high of funny stuff and weird stuff. Nobody snorted anything. Nobody sniffed anything. And Diane didn't take her shoes off, so we all fine there. Sorry, Diane. But we were all very blessed. So sometimes that's just the way it is. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I want to talk to you just a bit about the anointing. On Wednesday night, I showed you the scripture in the Bible that says Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass on that day, says the Lord, that the anointing shall break the yoke. If the anointing is not present, no yoke will be broken. And you got to be in a place where the anointing is. And I want to tell you something. The anointing isn't just everywhere. The anointing is in certain places. When Jesus walked the earth, when you wanted the anointing, you had to be where He was. You couldn't have the attitude, oh, but you know, Jesus is down here. If God wants to touch me, God will touch me. You had to be where the anointing was. It was the people that got themselves ready. You know, we know the story of, I'm going to get back to you now. Okay, just give me a second. I'm preaching a mini sermon here. Okay. The man that got healed of paralysis could not go to Jesus. But he had four friends that had so much faith and so much belief in God that they even destroyed a man's roof and lowered the man down through the roof. They risked being beaten up by somebody because they had faith in Jesus. And can I tell you what? That man got healed because somebody took the time to take him to where the anointing is. If you want to see change in your life, you've got to be where the anointing is. If you want to be healed in your life, you've got to be where the anointing is. If you want to be delivered, you've got to be where the anointing is. You know, many times people say to me, but pastor, you know, if God wants to do it, He can do it in my living room. Probably He can. But the biblical way is go to where the anointing is. Nobody got healed when Jesus just walked past their house. But they got healed when they came out and they said, Lord, please have mercy on me. Please heal me. And they got healed. That's the way it is. You know, her mother, God bless her soul, she's 80 what?
Three.
She's 83 years old. You know, she was very fragile. She was frail. She was in a lot of pain. Can I tell you what? She came from Portugal, yeah? She made a plan. She came to every single meeting. Sometimes I have people phoning me from around the corner. Oh, you know what? You don't understand. I've got this pain and this and that, and I can't get to church. No, you can. If you want to, you can. And probably when you do that, you show God that you really want it. You show God that you have an expectation. You are manifesting your faith. It is the people that went to Jesus that got healed. Do you know when Jesus went to people? Well, they were dead. The girl that was dead, Jesus went to her because she couldn't come. The other people, He didn't go. Jesus was at Peter's house. Because He was already at the house having supper, He prayed for the mother-in-law. He didn't specially go there to pray for her. He happened to be there. The rest of the people, whether they were on the mountain or whether they were in the valley or whether they were by the sea or whether they were by the shore, they came to Him and they got healed. Many times in the church, people try and manipulate us. But pastor, you don't understand. I've got this problem. I got that issue. I just can't go to church. And then when we check, they stay like 2 kilometers away. Then I also understand why you're not getting healed.
Can I say something?
You can.
And she was coming, and she doesn't understand English.
Well, you know, I forgot about that.
She doesn't.
I forgot about that.
I just keep on trying, you know, translate a little.
But she got healed, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
God is good, eh?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please.
Thank you.
Yes, you can. But you must come talk, yeah.
In connection with what I was saying, that people sometimes they want us to do everything for them. You know what? I have people phoning me for us to come and pray for them. We never say no to no one. But when I say to them, please come, try to come to the church first to see if God can deal with you in a church, because Rianne's got a full book every week. Every week he's out of the house. People, they get ugly with me. They get tell me I must beep, 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 and yo.
It's true. What she says is true. You know, both the two Fatimas handle my diary, number one and number two. And when we refer to as number two, we do it in the best possible way. But sometimes people actually swear at them because now they're not making a plan. You know, sometimes we have people phoning us up, oh, but I have a problem and I want to see the pastor now. Yes. Yeah, well, go read your Bible. It's not the way it is. It's sad. And then I understand why the people are in the pit that they are in. Because with an attitude like that, I want to tell you something. Even God can't help you. Because God will help those that want to help themselves. And the Bible says, humble yourself before God, and He will raise you up. Amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God. I'm very blessed. Where's Manuela? I'm blessed for your mother. I'm excited to hear. Now we're going to have to pray for her father, because he's going to have to keep up, eh? Well, bless God. I'm excited. Yes. You can. You can, yes, come.
Hi, everyone. Rianne, I want to thank you. Most of you know I said goodbye to my gran yesterday. You did so much for my gran. You prayed often with me, and you and my husband also, you've been so patient with the spiritual things in my life. And not enough was said yesterday, and I just want to say thank you. This ministry, every time my gran came here, she danced. And the last memory that she did, which means it uplifted her, and God really blessed her. And every time I went to go pray for her, she really actually kind of got a new spark inside of her. And it's all thanks to God and who Rianne is. And you live so far away, and out of your busy schedule, you came yesterday, and it really helped me together yesterday. And I want to say thank you.
It's a pleasure. Come here, man. God bless you. You know, the last time that her granny was with us, we were having a party at Georgie's house. It was his daughter's birthday. It was your son and your daughter's birthday, yeah. And we had some sound equipment there, and we were playing a couple of songs. And at one stage, I think it was, who's the Afrikaans singer? Kurt Darren. Kurt Darren came on, and I want to tell you what, that granny was up like a flash. Hey, hey. And I want to tell you, we had ons het al ons dae gehad. I don't know how to say that in English, but man, we had a difficult time together. She was just activating. She was dancing. She was happy. And that was, what, 3-4 weeks ago? Yeah, God is good. Amen. But yeah, you know, the one nice thing about your granny, she was a wonderful person. I know she enjoyed to come here. She was always blessed to come here. And she always danced when she came here. She did. And she was, what, 85? She would have been 85 now, yes. Well, God bless you. God bless your family. I see your mom at the back there. God bless you too, and the entire family. And you know what? I'm not going to say our condolences, because yesterday we already spoke a bit, but I want to say to you that, you know, Granny is in a wonderful place right now. And she's smiling, and she's probably still dancing. She's not dancing to Kurt Darren. She's dancing to some angelic music. But bless God. Amen? All right. I want to speak to you about what we ended off with last week. John chapter 8 verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That is a very, very overlooked scripture when it comes to living life down here on earth. Jesus speaking, he said, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Jesus wants us to live an abundant life. But I want to tell you something. There is a recipe for an abundant life. The recipe is found in the Word of God. And if you do not follow the recipe, the ladies that like to cook and that like to bake, I think baking is a bit more difficult than cooking. Cooking, you throw the stuff in the pot and the heat sorts it out, you know. But baking, you got to have things in the right measures, and, you know, otherwise they don't rise or they flop or they go hard, or, you know, things can go bad. I think we all understand that if you do not follow the recipe properly and things flop, then you also can't get upset because you're the one that's in the wrong. If 50 women can make the recipe and it works for them and you make it and it doesn't work for you, the problem is not the recipe. The problem is your application of the recipe or your lack of application of the recipe. You know, if it says there half a teaspoon of baking powder and you put in like half a kilo, probably you're going to blow the oven's door off or something. There's going to be a problem. You got to stick to what the rule says. Now, you know, when it comes to living life, we all know that we're going to make choices in life, and we all know that choices have consequences. And some of us are suffering under the consequences of our choices because the choices we make are not biblical. There's a lot of worldly ways to react to a situation. The worldly way to react and the godly way to react are sometimes very far removed from one another. And you know, the flesh wants to react a certain way. Sometimes you want to just clap the oak. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Okay. Private joke. But now you and me, we best friends, eh? Amen. He even brought me biltong the other day. Come stand here with me quickly. Come stand here. Yeah, yeah. If everybody's going to laugh, everybody has to laugh. Hey, amen. Come stand here. This is my new best friend, Victor. Victor is a wonderful man. He had some serious issues in his life. One of them was his incessant drinking. And he went on a drinking binge, and he was really being a bit of a nasty character, causing problems in the house. And you know what? Then things began to go wrong between him and his daughter. And I was asked to go and pray there. It was on a Saturday. I was not feeling well myself. I had a bit of flu. It was a Thursday. Sorry, I had a bit of flu, and they told me you better go because this oak is breaking and destroying the whole house. I thought, oh, then I better go. Yeah. I got there, and Vincent was very clever. And anyway, to make a long story short, a couple of things happened there, and then I just thought I had enough. Twar, I clapped him. He fell back. He looked at me. He said, you clapped me. I said, yes, I did. He said, I'll blix him. I said, come and try your luck. He came for me. I clapped him again. But I want to tell you something. God is good, because after the second clap, he was sober. He was totally sober. And then he went on his knees and he began to repent of everything he ever did. Yeah, God is good. You clapped me. I did. Amen. Ladies, please don't phone me and tell me to come clap your husband. I'm not going to come. I'm busy. Well, bless God. And since that day, you've been coming to church every Sunday. Tell me something. You're his wife. Did you ever think this would happen? How many of you know God moves in mysterious ways? God knows what he's doing. Amen. You know, he was sober on that day. He hasn't touched any alcohol since then. Praise God. How long ago was that?
2 months.
2 months. For 2 months you haven't touched a drop of alcohol. And you feel better, don't you? And you look a lot better. Oh, praise God. Amen. God is good. getting back to what I'm talking about, we're talking about you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. The Word of God has a lot to say about almost everything that you can think of. It has a lot to say about your marriage. It has a lot to say about relationships. It has a lot to say about work ethics. It has a lot to say about the way we should treat people. It has a lot to say about how we should apply our finances, etc., etc., etc. You want the answers. The answers are in, yeah, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now, one of the problems that we have is when we are confronted or faced with a problem, many times instead of running to God and applying His principles, we run to some worldly institution, and then we want to apply worldly principles, and then we have this thing like, oh, but you know what? Why isn't God blessing me? For God's blessing to be upon your life, you have to live a life of liberty. You have to live a life of freedom. Now, freedom can only come when you hear the truth, and the truth sets you free. Amen? Now, there's a big difference between the truth as Jesus proclaims it, and the truth as Swami Baba Ali or something, you know. That's not the truth that will set you free. Oprah has a lot of things to say about a lot of things. Probably in her own mind she's wise. According to God's word, she might not be. How do you know? You got to find out, what does the word say? It is only when you apply the truth of God's word to your life that you can be liberated. I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, please listen. You can sit in a church for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years and still be in bondage. Because a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. Whenever the truth is preached, ah, I don't see it that way. Ah, it's not like that. Oh, that's old fashioned. My friend, the word of God will never go out of season. The word of God will withstand the test of time. And I don't care how many wise prophets march around here on earth, there is only one true prophet. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what you should be wondering is, what does He have to say about your life? Not some other oak. Jesus' word will liberate you. Jesus' word will set you free. If you are in financial bondage right now, you got to go and check what the word says. Because when you receive the word, you receive a key. The key can unlock the bondage. You know, when you're in bondage, you're chained. Some people are in bondage to fear. Positive thinking is not going to set you free. Hypnosis is not going to set you free. There's a lot of other things that I can mention that will not set you free. Johnny Walker is not going to set you free. Amen. Jack Daniels doesn't know how to solve your problems. It'll give you more. But there's word, there is scripture, there is truth that can set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not what some say, it's what He says that's important in your situation. And if you cannot see what He says, do not expect to be free, because you will not be free. Now, we were speaking about giving. And let me just say that when you mention the topic giving, in most circles, people get this like worried look on their faces. They get this like funny shiga, you know what, I feel like I want to go home now. I don't want to hang around. Yeah, because you know what, giving is like a bit of a foreign concept even to Christians, when it shouldn't be. I want to ask a question. Who of you would like to be prosperous? I would like to be prosperous. Who of you would like to be blessed? Who of you would like to have security? Well, you see, there's a lot of things in the Word of God that speak specifically about that we sometimes don't like to hear, because it doesn't make sense to our minds. Let me ask you a question. Does it make sense to your mind that Jesus walked on water? But He did. Does it make sense to your mind that the dead can be raised? Well, they can. Does it make sense to your mind that one word can be spoken and cancer can dry up? AIDS can burn out of somebody's body. You know, I prayed for a young man about probably 12 years ago. He had been diagnosed with AIDS. He came to my house. He came and sat there. He cried. At that stage, I think he was 21 or 22 years old. He'd lived a very ugly life. He'd been fornicating and doing stupid stuff, into prostitution, the whole toot, you name it. If it was bad, he tried it and he did it well. And of course, there's a price to pay for everything, right? So what happened was he contracted AIDS. And he wasn't just HIV positive. It had already turned into AIDS. He came there and he confessed, he repented, we prayed. And then I began to pray for him. And I asked this, I said, Lord, please let the fire of God burn the poison out of this man's blood. And you know, it wasn't 10 seconds later, that man just started rolling around on the floor screaming. I'd never heard anybody scream like that in my life. And he kept screaming and screaming and screaming for probably half an hour. I couldn't make him quiet. There was nothing I could do. Eventually, I just sit back and I said, well, Lord, you know what you're doing. I'm just going to just keep quiet. I don't know what to do, yeah. When he eventually stopped, he told me that he felt a fire moving through his veins. The pain was excruciating. He felt different. He went for tests. He went for every type of test that you can have. There's apparently more than one test. I'm not an expert, but this is what he told me. He went for every type of test that you can have. He went from full-blown AIDS to no AIDS in one day. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't. Because we're dealing with supernatural things. You know, God doesn't always make sense. That's why Jesus doesn't live in your mind, because your mind can't comprehend him. Your mind is too prone to doubt, confusion, unbelief. The heart is where he lives, because the heart can be stable if we allow it to. Amen?
Amen.
The heart can be stable. Now, there's a bunch of truths in God's word that seem to clash with what we see in the world. In the world, how do you get rich? You walk over people, you abuse people, you manhandle situations, maybe you do a bit of backward stuff, corrupt stuff. You don't care. I have to put food on the table. You know, I have to feed my family. You know, life is difficult. We have to do what we have to do. We have to survive. Survival of the fittest, etc., etc. And then there's God's way. Let's look at what God says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Honor the Lord with your wealth. I know we have to honor the Lord with respect. I know we have to honor the Lord by spending time in His Word. I know we have to honor the Lord with our time. All of that is important. But now here's a scripture that tells us, honor the Lord with your wealth. Let's define wealth. What is wealth? Well, wealth is something tangible. Wealth is something that you can touch. Amen? Wealth equates to, in some sense, finances. Whether it's belongings or anything else, it's something that has value. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Listen to what he says. If you do this, then the following will happen. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. It's a good thing that you delivered from the alcohol, otherwise your eyes would have lit up right now. It's like, oh. That's where we all want to be. We want our barns to be full. We want our wine vats to be overflowing. But when we understand how to get there from God's perspective, immediately there's a clash in our brain. Because you see, the thing is, we were taught that to have, you got to take. And God says, in my kingdom, to have, you got to give. And that creates a big problem because, you know what, this is not normal. Yeah, you're right, it's not normal. But then again, we don't serve a normal God, we serve a supernatural God. In fact, we serve the one and only God, and He is supernatural. And the principles of His kingdom and the principles of this world are vastly separated from one another. We want God's blessing. Everybody wants God's blessing. You can't tell me that you don't want it, because then you'll be a liar. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to hana. We want to do well. We want to sleep peacefully at night, not lying the whole night worrying about all of our problems and all of our finances. But the fact of the matter is, in order to get to that place, we're going to have to overcome the stronghold of the mind. The mind says, if I want, I must take. God's word says, if you want, you must give. Now it's like, oh, this is a big problem. Because you see, Rihanna, it doesn't make any sense. Because if I have 100 rand and I give 100 rand, I have no more money. Well, that 100 rand is a key. And you know, every key unlocks something. The 100 rand is a key to unlocking the truth from God's word to manifest in your life. Put your hand in your pocket, if you have. Take out some ching, just quickly, just some ching, yeah. This is the end of the month salty crack snack. Just hold this up. You don't have any money, must I borrow you some? Just hold this up. I want you to look at this and say, this is a key to unlocking the favor of God, the provision of God, prosperity and wealth. Now, you can walk around with a key and never use it, and then get to God one day and say, oh, but you know what? Oh, why did I suffer? And then God's going to say to you, you didn't use the key. You held on to the key instead of releasing the key. Listen to what another scripture says. Proverbs 11 verse 24 says the following. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Again, this doesn't make sense. It says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. You know what? Many times it is said, you can never outgive God. That's where that comes from. Because the Bible says, when you give, God will give you back more. The problem is, can I tell you where we all miss the boat? If I give today, I want to have it tonight. If I don't have it tonight, oh, but you know, it doesn't work. No, you are not in charge. Once you've given, it is now in the system of the kingdom of God. And God never slumbers, God never sleeps, and God knows what He's doing. And at the right time, God's time, it's going to come back to you. Overflowing. The blessings are going to hit you off. It's going to be a tsunami of blessings coming. But sometimes there are certain things that have to fall into place. We are not in charge of that. God is. But the scripture says, and this is not me speaking, this is God speaking to you. He says, one man gives freely. And I want to say something about that again. To give freely means to be a cheerful giver. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Can I tell you why a lot of other people don't really get much? Because the moment it's time to give, whether you give to the church or you give to a beggar or you give to your children or you give to your wife or whatever, it's like, oh, grumble, 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 you know, like all upset. Okay, take it. Can God bless that money? No. You've just wasted it. You know, when you give something, put a smile on your dial, get all excited and say, I'm using my key. You give it with a smile. You give it with a grateful heart and you see how much you're going to get back. But the moment you give begrudgingly, the moment you give in anger and in frustration, the moment you give just to please somebody else, but it's not because that's what's in your heart. Now you've wasted that money. You've taken that seed and you've thrown it down the toilet. It's not going to come back to you because your attitude when you gave was wrong. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. You remember last week I showed you something. What is your name, sir? Des, can I ask you to come and stand here with me quickly? Sorry, the problem when you sit in front here is then I can pick on you. It's okay. It's not going to be bad. Des, I've got a couple of people here that weren't here last week when we showed this, so and you weren't here, and I want you to understand this principle because it's very, very important. Take this money. Hold on to it. No, just hold it there. Hold it in your hand. Now, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Hold on to that money. Let's say God wants to give him increase. Here's what I want you to do. Hold on to the money. Just hold your hand out like that. If God wants to bless him now, no. Hold on to it. Hold on to it tight. There's a problem. When you're holding on, your hands are closed. Oh, you see, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way that I'm putting it. I'll try it a different way. You're cheating. He told me already he's from the South. Now I understand. Now, when you close your hand, you can't receive. People that walk through life like this, the blessings of God cannot sit. Open your hand to give. Open your hand to give. No problem receiving. The moment your hand is open to give, your hand is immediately open to receive. The people that can't receive from God have not opened their hand to give. The moment your hand is closed, the blessing cannot touch you. The moment your hand is open, the blessing will come and sit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. That wraps up a bit of what we spoke about last week. Now, let's look at this. Jesus was a giver. He gave himself. He gave his life. He gave his body. He gave his blood. Do you know what Christian means? It means Christ-like. No, God doesn't want you to go and pin yourself to a cross somewhere and bleed yourself to death. That's not what it's about. It's about the principle. As Jesus was a giver, so God expects you to be a giver. Do not call yourself a Christian if you cannot give, because you're not. You have to have the nature of Christ. God is a giver. He gave his son. He gave everything that he has. We want to be like God. We have to be like God. We have to get to the place that we understand the principles of the kingdom of God, and that if you don't give, you can't receive. The more stingy you are, the less you will have. You know, the world says, hold on to it. God says, let it go. Which truth will set you free? God's truth, not the world's truth. God's truth. In the book of Acts chapter 10, we read of a man by the name of Cornelius. I'm going to read you Acts chapter 10 from verse 1 to 4. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family was devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear and said, what is it, my Lord? The angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Raise your hands if you've had a divine angelic visitation. In other words, an angel stood in front of you and spoke to you. I've had it. I've actually had it many times, but that's not something that happens a lot. Now, this man must be a special man for this to happen. Because we know that this is not, it's not that it cannot happen, it's just it's not the norm, and it happens very, very seldom. Cornelius was a good man. Do you agree with me? He was a good man. He was the salt of the earth. Cornelius was a devout man. Cornelius was a religious man because he did pray to God. Amen? Cornelius was even a giving man. I can't say anything negative about him because in the little that we hear about him, he actually sounds like a truly amazing individual. Was Cornelius saved? Okay, well, when we look at it, like, oh, he prays a lot, he fasts, he gives money to the poor. Yeah, probably he is. No, he wasn't. Cornelius wasn't saved. Do you know why the angel appeared to Cornelius? Because Cornelius, through his life and through his giving, touched the heart of God. And God said, this man deserves salvation. God looked at Gabriel. He said, Gabriel, are you busy right now? No, my Lord. I got some work for you. There's a chappie down there. His name is Cornelius. Many times I hear him talk to me, but he doesn't really know me. He talks to me because he heard the Israelites talking about me. He doesn't have a relationship with me. He doesn't know me, but I want him to know me. And I want him to spend eternity with me. This man has found favor with me. Gabriel, get yourself down there. Tell him about a man by the name of Peter who understands salvation. Let him meet with Peter. Let him receive the truth and let the truth set him free. Hello? Cornelius wasn't saved. You know, the Bible says our good works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. Your good works, your nice attitude, your prayers, giving alms to the poor, fasting is not going to get you into heaven, my friend. I don't care how you look at it, it won't. It will never get you there. The only thing that will get you to stand before God one day and for him to say, welcome my son, welcome my daughter, is when you come through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Cornelius didn't know who Jesus was. Trying to be religious is not going to get you there. Knowing the Savior will. To get to Father God, you have to have a passport. The passport is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. When Jesus is in your life, you can cross over from darkness into light. When Jesus is not in your life, the border crossing won't open for you. You will stay in darkness. Let me read this to you again. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. In other words, he was a Gentile, which is just a fancy word for an unbeliever. He and all his family was, listen to the things we hear about him. He was devout. That means he was like, he was committed. He was God-fearing. He knew about God. Listen to me. Knowing about God and knowing God is two separate things. He was God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need. And he prayed to God regularly. And in the old King James Version, it actually says that he prayed and fasted regularly. So he was a very religious man. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. In other words, God allowed him to see in the spirit world. He's not even saved yet. He's not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. But God is opening the spiritual realm for him to see. And guess what he sees? Boom. The next moment, there's this huge big angel standing in front of him. He needed new underwear because the Bible tells us he's in total fear. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear and said, what is it, my Lord? It was like, what is it, my Lord? He's in panic. Then he says to him, the angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor, your giving, have come up as a memorial offering before God. What was it that made God, out of billions of people on this earth, suddenly look at Cornelius and say, I want something to happen for this man. Ah, he was a giver. Remember what I told you about the key? Where's my key? Cornelius used the key. This key can open doors that you can't comprehend right now. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's biblical. I'm not here to lie to you. I'm here to preach the truth. The truth will set you free. This is a key. In Cornelius's case, this was the key to salvation. Oh, no, but Rian, you can't buy salvation. He didn't buy it. The key unlocked it for him because he was willing to use it. He didn't even understand the principles, but he abided by them in the way that he lived his life. And that caused God to say, hey, wait a minute, who's that oak there? Wow, we got to do something for this man. Cornelius found favor with God out of hundreds, if not millions of people because of who he was. He was a giver. Cornelius was a religious man, but he was not saved. Possibly without even knowing or understanding the things of God's kingdom, through his kindness and his giving, he brought himself into a place where he began to receive from God. The Bible says one man gives freely, yet receives even more. He was honoring godly principles. And even if you are an unbeliever, and I want to say something to you, there are Buddhists out there, there are Muslims out there, there are Hindus out there that are blessed of God because they adhere to godly kingdom principles, and therefore God blesses them. Do not begrudge them the fact that they are blessed. They apply certain godly principles, and therefore they will still be blessed. The problem is, will they be up there one day? That's for God to decide, not me. Looking at the book of Proverbs, he was therefore a wise man. Cornelius was very wise in the way that he used the keys. And because of his wisdom, he was destined to prosper. Now, genuine prosperity would go beyond the realms of this world. Genuine prosperity goes into the realm of forever, eternity. Cornelius and his family did not yet have that prosperity because they were not saved. The purpose of this divine visitation from an angel was for Cornelius to find salvation. And the main thing about Cornelius that caused God to look at him with favor was the fact that his hand was like that, not like that. He was a giver, and he cheerfully gave. Now, Cornelius had a big need in his life, but he wasn't even aware of it because nobody had explained it to him. And God came to a place where God said, I am going to meet the need of this man. A need he doesn't even know he has. How many of you know that God wants to meet our needs? Sometimes we have a need that we don't even know of. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what you need for the day of tomorrow or the day after. But when you come to the right place with God, God begins to meet the needs that you are not even aware of. Because of the principle of giving and receiving, you know, the Bible says one man gives freely yet receives even more. Cornelius could never, ever, ever, ever have imagined how much he was about to receive because of his giving. Can all the money in the world buy you salvation? Can you buy your way into heaven? Can you buy healing? Can you buy deliverance? Can you buy a miracle? No, you can't. That comes through the grace of God and through the favor of God. But sometimes the way we apply ourselves will cause God, like for Cornelius, to look down and say, hey, wait a minute. Look at that one down there. It's time for us to release something into their life. Amen? You can think of it as you give, God gives interest. Whatever you give, you're giving into the kingdom of God. You are not giving to the person. And I think that's where we have to make a paradigm shift. When you give something to somebody, because of who you are a child of God, honoring the principles of God's kingdom. That money is not going to that person. It's going into the kingdom of God. And God is the one that now takes charge of your money. When you give money to Sunlam, you're hoping that when you are 50 or 65 years old or whatever, there's going to be some return. And by the grace of God, there will be. But whatever you give into the kingdom of God, there's no inflation up there. There's no thief that can touch up there. And there's no interest like you get from up there. You know, the Bible says when we sow, we will get back a harvest, sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. Show me one thing in South Africa or in the world that's going to give you 100-fold return. It's impossible. And it doesn't stop with a hundredfold. God is just trying to show us that the sky is the limit when it comes back to you from God. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, the sky is the limit. Hey, when you give, you are placing a deposit into the kingdom of God. Down here, who's got a savings account? What are they giving you now? It's like 7% or something ridiculous like that. It's like, why even bother? You know, it's rather just hold on to your money, because by the time they've given you your 7% and they've taken off the bank charges, you're actually losing money. What you give into the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. There's no bank charges. There's no thief that can touch there. And God decides how to give it back to you. Did Jesus work for a living? Well, we know that there was a time that he was a carpenter, but you know, the moment the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him, his life got busy very quickly. There was a lot of need, and those needs needed to be met. Jesus cruised from place to place to place all the time, speaking the good news of the gospel, healing the sick and casting out devils. Jesus was in demand. Jesus sometimes battled to move himself because there were crowds of thousands of people that surrounded him at all times. When did he have time to work? He didn't. Jesus was doing the things of the kingdom of God. How did he survive? Well, there was woman, the Bible says, that looked after him. In the book of Acts chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, let's read that quickly. Luke chapter 8, from verse 1 to 3. Hey, my Bible's being stubborn. Luke 8, from verse 1, jeepers. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. How did Jesus minister? Out of the kindness of people. Because there were people around him, in this case women, whose hands were open. They looked after him. They took care of him. Now, what do we read about these women? Let me show you. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Well, here's the question. Where did deliverance come? Did it come before she gave or after she gave? I don't know, but one of the things that we know about her is she was a giver. Did she know she had so many demons? I promise you she didn't. There's a couple of you sitting here, you've been delivered of some hair-raising chochos, and you were like, ooh, where did that come from? Come on, am I lying? You didn't even know you had these things, and then the power of God came down and something popped, and you got delivered. Did she know she had all these demons? I promise you she didn't. She knew she had some attitude problems, probably. But she didn't know they were demons. But she got delivered. She experienced the grace of God. Can I tell you something about her? She was a giver. The favor of God was upon her life. She gave, but she received even more. I'm actually not even going to say anything else. I think that's all I have to say. You have a need? God can meet any need. But sometimes we have to give to receive. Oh, but Pastor, you know what? I don't see it that way. I don't care how you see it. You should see it the biblical way. This is the truth that will set you free. Do I need your money? No, I don't. You give that money where God tells you to give it. I'm teaching you the principle of the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something about my life. You don't pay my salary. God does. My eye is not on you or you or you. My eye is up there. I have a provider. My provider's name is not Kazi or Eddie or, what was your name again?
Des.
Or Des. Praise God. My provider's name is Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. My father is the richest Jew in the world.
Amen.
You think I got financial problems? I'm sorry, but I don't. He knows how to supply my needs according to his riches and his glory. But I want you to understand something. If you don't come to the place that you begin to apply the principles of God in your life, you cannot have the blessings that God says is there for you. The blessings of God are conditional. Many people never meet the conditions, but then they want to cry because they don't have them. Well, now I'm trying to teach you something. If you do not give, you cannot receive. If you have a big need in your life, start giving and probably God will meet and exceed your need. How many needs do you have right now that are going to pop up tomorrow and you don't even know about them? Well, you see, when we give, God meets needs that we didn't even know we had. Did anybody learn something today? Please give the Lord a big hand. I want to say something quickly. When you give, yeah. You must, yes.
I want to say something that last day I was talking to them about this. Is there a scripture in the Bible when God says, bless me on that?
Yes. Next week we'll look at that.
Okay.
Yeah. Next week. But I understand where you're coming from. But what she says is valid. The word of God says, test me. Test him. Now, let me teach you something that's very important. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. The truth will set you free, so let's give you some truth. When you give, the Bible says, as long as heaven and earth endures, seed time and harvest time will never cease. In other words, the time to sow and the time to reap will never cease. When you give, I told you, you give to the kingdom. You're not giving to this church. You're not giving to me. You're not giving to your mother-in-law. I know for some of you that's a big stretch of your imagination, but anyway, don't worry. Georgie does love you. You know, it's fine. You're giving to the kingdom of God. Now, when you give, you should be expectant that something is going to come back. Scripture says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. So we should have, Lord, I'm following your principles. Lord, I'm being obedient to your word. Lord, I'm trusting you. Now the Bible says that there will be a harvest. When you sow, there will be a harvest, sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. Now, the Bible also says that every seed will reproduce after its own kind. Do you plant an apple seed and a lemon tree sprouts? No. Do you plant a petunia and you get a cactus? No. You don't. So in other words, what you put in is what you're going to get out. Now when you sow, what should you do? Here's what you should do. When you sow, you should talk to God about what you're sowing. What is your seed? Is your seed for evangelism? Lord, this seed is called evangelism. I'm sowing the seed towards the evangelical, move of the Holy Spirit to spread the word of the good news of the kingdom of God. If you are sowing for healing, you say, Lord, this is my seed for healing. Healing for my mother-in-law, healing for my uncle, my auntie, healing for me, for whatever. Lord, this is my seed for financial breakthrough. Because the seed will reproduce after its own kind. If you just put and put and put and you never tell God what you're putting for, What's going to come back to you? If you put nothing, then nothing comes back. So from now on, whenever you give something, you talk to God about it. Lord, and it doesn't have to be just one thing. You can name 10 things. God will decide how he wants to give it back to you. But you talk to God and you say to God, Lord, this is what I'm sowing for. I need a new job, Lord. If you're sitting here and you don't have a job, you sow. I don't care if it's 10 cents. I don't care if it's 5 rand. I don't care if it's 10 rand. Whatever. You sow and you say to the Lord, Lord, this seed is called my new job. Think. About 7 years ago, I spoke on this topic in Robertsham. There was a woman there that day whose daughter had been caught up in prostitution and drugs. Her daughter had been gone for, I think it was 2 years, right? Something like that. The Nigerians took her. Nobody knew where she was. The police told her to give up on her because she will never see her daughter again. I spoke on this stuff. She sat in the church. She said, Lord, she only had 10 rand on her. In fact, she didn't have. She borrowed 10 rand. The person next to her gave her 10 rand. She said, Lord, this seed is called My Daughter is Coming Home. She put that seed in. Do you know what happened when she got home that Sunday? She got a phone call from the SAPS in Margate. They just picked up her daughter. That Monday, her daughter was back in her house. Come, give the Lord a big hand. She phoned me the Tuesday morning. She cried so much she couldn't even tell me the story. 2 years, they didn't know where her daughter was. Name your seed. It tells God what you're sowing for. Don't just put money. Don't just give a gift. Name it. Say, Lord, this is called X, Y, Z. This is called, Victor, my new husband. Amen. My new wife. Peace for my marriage. A good future for my children. Financial breakthrough. Wisdom for my children. Wisdom for my husband. Oh, it's for my husband. Wisdom for patience for my wife. Yeah? No, I'm only joking. But the fact is, if you don't tell God, it's not going to come back. Stretch out your hands towards this offering, please. Okay, Kazi. Wisdom for her husband. Okay. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you for every person that is freely given. In accordance with your word, one man gives freely yet gains even more. Thank you for your blessing upon the seed that has been sown. I'm going to be quiet and I want you to talk to God. You tell God what you've been sowing. Tell him what your seed is called. My new job, my new car, my new wife, my new husband, financial, I don't know. You talk to God. And so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we bless this offering in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do now. We have to have a short break because we have to prepare the area where we're going to pray. If I can ask some of the gentlemen to just help us, please, we need to get the chairs out. Otherwise, we have no place to pray. We are going to be praying for people. I know some people came specifically for prayer. Some came for healing. Some came for deliverance. Some came for whatever, a miracle. Well, we have to trust God because Jesus is the giver. I can't give you anything. My faith is in him, so should yours be. But we're going to pray for you. Whatever your need is, God can meet and exceed your need. We're going to have just a short break so that we can prepare the hall. And then we're going to start praying for people. So don't go home. Wait for us. Yes, and then I just want to ask the people that have not yet been delivered from the spirit of Baal, which is the chocho that sits behind smoking, we do understand that you're battling with that. Please use the ashtrays. Please just don't drop your stompies all over. Thank you.